Welcome and thank you for joining us. At Worship Harvest, we believe that we are a movement of the gospel, discipleship, and mission. And we are committed to catalyzing spiritual, social, and economic renewal in our immediate communities. And as a result, the world. Here is this week's teaching.
Five things. One, the obstacle. Two, my faith promise. Three. Okay, the responses are one, my faith promise. Two, my faith company. Three, my faith confession. Four, tomorrow is a public holiday, so those of you who are looking at me badly saying you have to go to work early, where are you going? You don't know that you are in a faith house. Tonight, your miracle is next. Oh, yes. Back pain is healed in Jesus' name. Yeah. Look, if you don't believe in miracles, you're in the wrong house. This is a miracle house. Amen. Sit down. So the three things. Okay, obstacle. Then promise, company, confession, action. We are together on as to where we are in the whole thing. Eh? No one is saying, what are those things up on the screen? You understand. So faith starts with an obstacle. You come against an obstacle. Broken bone. Bad report. A report from the doctor. Bad report from the accountant. Bad report from the wife. Bad report from the MC member. I have bad report from the former landlord. Why former? Guys, tonight's message, look, if the first two messages didn't carry you over your wall of doubt, tonight's message, we are going to break the wall and you have to go over. Yeah. Your wall of doubt has to go.
I serve a miracle working God. I serve a miracle working God. I serve a miracle working God. I serve a miracle working God.
Okay, sample. We are in a word. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 to 37. Those are many verses. So we are going to work together. By the way, I was listening to a man of God recently, and they were preaching from this thing. Then my spirit got excited. I was like, God! Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem. You are not reading. Where there was a notable woman. Say, notable woman. Tell your neighbor you are a, if you're the woman, look at the woman next to you and say, you are a notable woman. Tell the man you are a notable man. Oh, yes. The ladies in this church are notable women. Women of faith. Women of valor. World changers. They are not just seated at home waiting on their husbands to make things happen. No, they are making things happen. Hey! All right. But this woman was not only notable, she was also wise. So when the prophet came, she persuaded him to eat some food. You know, some people think if you eat, miracles don't happen. There will be more miracles after season 21 than during season 21. No, it doesn't depend on your fasting. You're mistaken. Your fasting is just to get your flesh out of the way. Otherwise, the name of Jesus doesn't get more powerful when you fast. Before you were born, the name of Jesus was powerful. After you were born, the name of Jesus was powerful. Before you got born again, the name of Jesus was powerful. After you got born again, the name of Jesus is powerful. When you're fasting, the name of Jesus is powerful. When you're eating, the name of Jesus is powerful. Give me the scripture. I'm preaching. You can't do nothing about it. So she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was as he often, as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. There are people who, if they eat food in your house, I don't know who I'm talking to. Is there a B3 organ in that keyboard? I don't hear no organ. Yay! Yeah. He would turn in there. Elisha, man, was into eating at this lady's house because she was wise. She opened her house to the man of God and you see, the Bible says, go back. She persuaded him. It wasn't that he was a glutton who wanted it. No. Elisha was on his things. He didn't need a woman's food. But she needed him to eat her food. You see, the Bible talks of Jesus, how he often stopped at the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus to eat. And that day when he was there and Martha was rebuked for how much activity, it's because she was preparing food. And there was a notable miracle in that house. There shall be a notable miracle in your house. Oh yes. Oh yes. There are people who have eaten her food in my house. And there are others who are yet to eat food in my house. But they are coming. Hey. Look, you're there. Your pride tells you, I don't need anyone to eat food. Look. We would have heard about you by now. Hey, where were we? Please. Next. And she said to her husband, look, now I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Eh? She knew something. Everyone else was like that bald-headed prophet who keeps eating in that woman's house. But for her, she knew something. You see, when God anoints people, he doesn't consult you. Look, there are things which are not for arguing. You see, you think because you have a social media account, everything you can argue. No, not everything is for arguing. Yeah, anointing is not for arguing. Yeah, either there are testimonies or there are no testimonies. You know, it's simple. And it's not because people are special. What? No, there's no one special. We are just flesh. David said we are like grass. Yeah. It's just that God can say, this grass here, let me throw some oil on it. So She said to her husband, "Mwami, look now. Eh? This guy who has been eating our pilau, ntula, pork chops, roasted gonja, eh? Shepherd's pie." And she's like, "We need to take it up a notch." Look what she did. "Please, let us make a small upper room on the wall. And let us put a bed for him there. And a table. And a chair. And a lampstand. So there will be, whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." The prophet's room is very telling of his activities. The woman, why did she know? You have to put a bed, he will need to sleep. A table and a chair. He's a man of study. A lampstand. She knows this prophet is always reading. The furniture in your house reveals your priorities. Your furnishings reveal your priorities. The rooms in your house reveal your priorities. This woman was like, "Let us make a special room. It's not an Airbnb room where everyone's..." No, this one. When we went to Winners Chapel headquarters in Nigeria, they gave us a tour of the place. It's mind-boggling. Literally. There's a whole university with a football stadium, with a stadium, athletics, it is, and proper, it's the top rated university in Nigeria now, Covenant University. The auditorium, 50,000 seater, which was built in 1 year, about 20 years ago. There are levels. There are levels. But there are men who have secrets. There are men who have secrets of God. On that property, whole university, printing presses, huge cathedral, office blocks, primary, there was a primary school and I think a secondary school, all in one property. Wow. And I'm not talking about that, no, with fields extensive. On that property, there were three palace-like houses, all white, in one neighborhood. You could only see from a distance. One house was for Bishop Oyedepo and his wife, who are the pastors of Winners Chapel. One house was for Pastor Adeboye, who he considers to be his spiritual father. Like a whole house. No, don't think about some of these houses you have. I'm talking about a mansion, white. You, even from a long distance, it looks big with pillars. You know those classic, like, yeah, White House type of thing. Majestic, classical design. That house is for Daddy G.O. For when he comes. He doesn't live there. Yeah, but it is his house. Because for him, that's when he passes by, that's his my spiritual father. So his how that's his house. Big. Look, forget your little house. I'm talking about a palace-like structure for someone who doesn't live there. A third house was for Kenneth Copeland, who he considers a mentor. For whenever he comes around, if he comes by, which is not even a yearly, he comes once in every few years. But there is a house. There is a house. And I'm sure there is no dust in that house. I'm sure the houses are maintained. They are cleaned. And I don't think they'll find you sleeping there. That's why he employs. That's why he employs 20,000 people. And he pays salaries every month, 20,000 people. On time. Across a myriad of institutions. What wisdom do you need to take you to the next level? I was like, what a shocking shock. Yeah, there should be people in your life who matter to that degree. So let's make a small upper room on the wall. Put a bed, a table, a chair. We know what he needs. He needs a table, he needs a chair, he needs a bed, he needs a lampstand. Next verse. And it happened one day that he came there, and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said, so first of all, he had the servant, okay? So when he's talking to this woman, there is someone else. So she cannot later say, that man of God, or what? And he said to him, say now to her. Look, now he's not talking to her directly. Now, you see, some of you might be like, now that I've done the room, I must have conversations with you every time you come here. No. The woman, they would just serve food and go away. And when he came, he would just go to his room and sleep. And this time he wants to talk about his sending instructions through Gehazi. Ask her. And she's not offended. She's not like, this man has, I've given him my room, he doesn't even talk to me. Some of you have an attitude. You give 30,000 shillings to a rise and build, you want the pastor to pick it personally. Let's continue. Upstairs, are you there or you are in another church? Okay. Send now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? She answered, I dwell among my own people. So he said, what then is to be done for her? Like, you know, there are people, once you have done something good for them, they already feel obligated. They are provoked into... You see, that's what the Bible calls righteousness. Yeah, it says, God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. If you have ever done something for someone and they forgot, they are unrighteous. It's those who forget. But people who have some sort of soul in their system, they can't forget. They'll be asking, you do something for them, they are immediately thinking, what can I do for this person? What can I do for this person? So he wants to use his influence. Maybe, you know, talk to the king for you. Because she's a notable woman. To make business easy for you. Do you have any problem in your dealings? We can solve it. And she had never asked him for anything. Hey. And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son. And her husband is old. Yeah. In other words, you need to get married early so you have children. So he said, call her. All this time they've been going forth, back and forth through the servant. Says, okay, now let me talk to her directly. When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. She could not come in. Then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. That is someone's word right now. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maid servant. Do you know those things which you're past it? You are like, I prayed, I believed, I fasted, I confessed positively. And now I no longer want to talk about it. Yeah, it's no longer for that. That one is like, look, God, if you want to do something for me, feel free. But I don't want to hear about this thing anymore. Yeah. Look, God has a miracle with your name on it. Even the things you're tired of talking about, God is not tired of talking about it. He wants to give you a breakthrough. If I were you, I would be dancing in my heart and rejoicing. Yeah. What's that one thing you no longer want discussion about? Yeah, you're like, no. Let's maintain the love for God. Eh? Yeah, that issue. Yeah, when we talk about it, I feel like my love for God is going down. Let's not talk about it. Yeah, I've learned to live with my issues. I've learned to live. Let's focus on heaven. And going there, and let's have God and go to heaven there. Don't talk about that thing. Yeah, don't talk about having a child. That thing, I prayed. Yeah, I've already faced enough. Yeah, pain. Yeah, so let's leave the children thing. Yeah, yeah. In heaven, we'll have no children. So, yeah. Yeah. No, don't talk about husbands. No, I put on makeup, I finished all the makeup. I did everything they told me. I joined the choir, I became visible. They told me you are invisible, become visible. I joined the choir, I became visible. I put on my best dance strokes. They still did not see me, so let's not talk. Let's not talk! Am I talking to somebody? When you've gone to the doctor, that report is the same, the report is the same, until you are like, you know what? Maybe that, what God told Paul, huh? Yeah, my grace is sufficient for you. Maybe this is my thorn. Never mind, the thorn wasn't sickness, by the way. No, the thorn wasn't sickness. Paul's thorn in the flesh was persecution, not sickness. Because there's nowhere else in the scriptures where they say that a thorn is sickness. God promised Israel that your enemies shall be a thorn in your flesh, in your side. Yeah. That's the thorn. It's your enemies. So that's why you see Paul, every city he went, he was being beaten. He was being beaten. Even when there's some peace, it's just a matter of months and then he's beaten again. Yeah. You don't have a record of Paul being sick. Does he say anywhere, and I fell sick? And he writes about other people who fell sick, including one who nearly died from the sickness. He himself, he never talks about any sickness of his own. So whoever came up with the idea that the thorn was sickness, and Paul doesn't address sickness in his own body, but we know what his problem was, being bitten. Beatings. You see, he talks about in fastings, in perils of waters, in Second Corinthians chapter 11, when he's talking about all that, 39 stripes, 3 times I was beaten by rods, shipwrecks, what? Nowhere does he mention sickness as one of the trials he went through. So shall it be with you. Where were we? So, he didn't consult her. He already consulted. She's like, I don't need anything. So, she comes and says, okay, by this time next year, you shall embrace a son. She said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maid servant. But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha, it shall be as the Lord has said to you. Amen. So you see, she had the promise. Your faith promise. There was already an obstacle. She wasn't conceiving. But she had the faith promise. She had her faith company. She had created company by convincing the man of God to live in her house. You see that? It wasn't an immaculate conception. The old man had to sort of get things going. She took action. So the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come of which Elisha had told her. Verse 18, and the child grew. Now it happened. This is the first conclusion. I've already made the 4 points, but there's something more. And the child grew. Now it happened one day, are you there? That he went out to his father to the reapers, and he said to his father, my head, my head. So he said to a servant, carry him to his mother. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, then he died. Obstacle. Yeah, this is major. There are obstacles and there are major obstacles. Yeah, there are some obstacles, but there are some major obstacles. This is major. But she had a word. She had a word. Now, the next few verses are extremely important for your destiny. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Hmm? No wailing, no screaming, no crying, just faith actions. Then she called to her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back. She has said nothing about a child dying. She's like, dude, get me one of those guys who rides very fast. I need to go to that. Because he wasn't at in the room. He was at his home. Okay? So he said, why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. The words you've heard so many times. You thought they are not from the Bible. You thought some people just say it because it is comforting. What did she say? Shout, it is well with me. It is, look, she has a dead boy in the house. And she's saying it is well. What is it you have for which you cannot say it is well that is worse than that? Or you of little faith? I told you the next few minutes, your destiny. Yeah. Because next time Satan comes your way, you need to know how to respond. Yeah. Starting to call everyone to detail the problem. Look, she's not talking about the neighbor's son. She's not talking about her worker from the field who has died. Her only son of promise. But for her, it is well. She has one confession. It is well. It is well. Oh yes, it is well. It is well. It is well with you. Stop the stuff coming out of your mouth. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. Action. Faith action. She knows she's in trouble. She's going to look for her faith company. The people that can stand with her in this specific obstacle are not where she is. You see, many of you, God has miracles for you, but you want it on your terms. You're like, me, God, I'm not even going to Nari. I'm going to be here. Sometimes God will require you to do something. You see, Jesus told the man, go wash in the pool of Siloam. A blind man, like, this is Jesus. You will just say, see now. That's what he told Bartimaeus. Why must I look for a pool I've never seen? I don't know where it is. I'm blind. How will I even get there? You see, sometimes you need some humility. Work with God. If he tells you go to such and such a place, you go. If he tells you go and visit such and such a person, you go. If he tells you go and pray in such a... Sometimes God has told me to go and pray certain places. And it's not about, but God, you hear me anywhere. Look, go and pray in this place. You see, God knows more than you do. I hope you know that. So she's going to look for her faith company. May God give you faith company. that raises the dead. And the dead things in your life. Not gossips. Not evil people. Not slanderers. Men of the Spirit. Women of the Spirit. People, you know that if I go here, even my discouragement will disappear. And so she departed and went to the man of God, her faith company, at Mount Carmel. Sometimes there's not just a faith company, there's a faith place. There are places. There are places. There are places where God will anoint you differently from the anointing you received elsewhere. There are places where God will anoint you. Yeah. Samuel was the ultimate prophet, but he told Saul, go and you'll find a certain group of prophets there. There. For him, he has already poured oil on him. He has done everything. But it's like, the process is not complete. There is a group of people. You should go there. And when you reach there, you will be changed into another. As in, you are not, even if I've laid hands on you and I am Samuel, you have not changed into another man. But there are people, once you get into their midst, you'll be changed into another man. You'll be changed into another man. You'll be changed into another man. And let it be that when that happens, do as the occasion demands. Yeah. When God connected me to Bishop Doug, I was changed into another man. Yeah. I know who I was before. I know who I am now. I know who I was before. I know who I am now. Mama. Yeah. Before, go back. How do you feel? So it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant girls, look, the Shunammite woman. Please run now to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And what did she say? Now, some of you might think that, okay, it is well, but once I reach the pastor. Pastor, man, our food day. Pastor! You think when you get where the people of faith are, that's when it's time to lose your faith and misuse your mouth. It is well. She has not let one negative word out of her mouth. In the middle of the most devastating experience of her life. And the prophet even was like, the speed with which she's coming, there's a problem. It's either her issue or the husband or the child. She said this. Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. But girls came near to push her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. I'm about to tell you something. As long as she didn't say it, Elijah couldn't pick it up. Elisha couldn't pick it up in the spirit realm. It was still hidden. It's like, yeah. It wasn't there. Because if she had said, my son, if she had told her husband or anyone else, Elisha would already have picked it up. He would have said, yeah, dead son. But he cannot figure. Look, this is Elisha. He sees chariots. But it's like, why can't I see? This woman looks distressed. But what's the issue? He can't pick it up because it has never left her lips. So it's not there in the spirit. The son is dead, but as long as she has said nothing, it is not registered. So he can't pick it up. He's like, what's going on here? What's going on here? What's wrong? I know you have understood. So she said, did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? She still hasn't said anything. She's informing him differently. So he immediately knew without her saying it. Yeah. Did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Next, Elisha. And then he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand. Be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. If anyone greets you, do not answer. But lay my staff on the face of the child. And the mother of the child says, Oyoba agende agende. As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. You are my faith company. I'm not going with a guy with a stick. What is at stake is too high for you to send me off with that fellow. Do you know the posture all this while? She's grabbed his feet. Elisha cannot move. He can't get up. Amlina kubigere. He said, unless you're dead, I'm not living here. So he arose and followed. It's like, okay. Now Gehazi went ahead of them, laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and heard him saying, the child has not awakened. When Elisha came into the house, there was a child lying dead on his bed. He went in therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child. And put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out on the child. And the flesh of the child became warm. My faith action. You know, depending on how desperate the situation is, some things require crazy action. I mean, it's like, what if they find him and take a picture? But they close the door. Eyes on eyes, nose on nose, mouth on mouth, hand on hand. Let me show you something. He says, he went in, shut the door, and prayed. He prayed. After he prayed, you see, you think that prayer is your faith action. It's not. Many of you, you don't have your miracles, but you know what you always say, Pastor, I've prayed. Who told you prayer is your faith action? Prayer is simply for you to hear what God needs you to do. Prayer is not in the success equation. It's in the revelation equation. You pray so you know what to do. Prayer can never replace what to do. So he prayed. And after he prayed, he was told, okay, now, you know what? You're going to do something that is very wacky. Yeah. You, this miracle, you've never done it like this. You're going to lay on the dead body. Can you imagine yourself in that funeral? What? Lying on a dead body that's cold? Now, don't try that at home. Unless God has told you. Because otherwise, you'll make different kinds of news. You'll be like, see, my Baba, what's your purpose? No, but as for you, you shall raise the dead in the name of Jesus. Before you die, you must raise a dead person. It's one of the miracles of Jesus. Bishop Obutai was here the other day. 5 dead people came, he has raised. And we all were here receiving that mantle. So, yeah. This was his faith. The woman had her faith action, which was, if he sends that guy with a stick, don't go. Your faith action is, you are going there. Yeah, and you know, when they reached there, she didn't even bother. She didn't say, let me also come in. She's like, Monange, the person is in your room. Yeah. So go upstairs. Me, I'm here waiting for you guys to come back. She wasn't pacing outside. She wasn't praying. She was just like, I've done my part. Now it's your part. Everyone does their part. So he prayed. So verse 35, we are finishing. He returned and walked back and forth in the house. Now, there was one stage. The flesh of the child became warm, but the child was not yet alive. So he returned and walked back and forth in the house. He was still praying, waiting for further instructions. Like, we've done step one that we are told, but we are not, the thing is not yet back. You see, that's when some of you cut wires for God. I did what you told me. The thing didn't come back to life. Look, go back in prayer. Receive further instructions. Bible says he shall die for lack of instruction. He shall die for lack of instruction. You shall never die. May you receive instruction. He shall die for lack of instruction. As for you, shall live because of the abundance of instruction. And all that pertains to you shall live because of the abundance of instruction. And again went up and stretched himself out on him. Second time. And the child sneezed 7 times. And the child opened his eyes. Somebody rejoice. Operation back to life. Operation back to life concerning some things in your life is on right now. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite woman. So he called her, and when she came in to him, he said, pick up your son. So she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. The husband is still in the garden. All this while he doesn't know a child died, got back to life. Start laughing, somebody. Yeah. Hey. 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 Woo. ladies. Come on, ladies. Every situation, every condition is defeated. You shall rise up and soar like eagles. You shall go out and grow fat like store-fed calves. Unto you who fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like store-fed calves. It doesn't matter what the siege is. Tonight, at your rejoicing, at your praising, at your faith, it is done. 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 Help me rejoice. Declare it is done. God is risen. Blessed. We are going to do it 7 times, not the second time. 5 times to go. God, we'll be right back. your victory is assured in the presence of the Lord. One of soil.
Why don't you just pray in the spirit for 1 minute? Pray in the spirit for 1 minute. Don't leave yet. Randa kasete kelibo zobre de bosha. Thank you, Jesus. Mataka rebo koli manda baba baba. Mandelelelele bosi taya baba baba. We praise you, Lord. Mataya kasete. Thank you, Jesus. What a night. I think this is a night we are going to remember for the rest of our lives. We thank God that we were here in the room. Something has happened. I know I don't have to tell you, you're very spiritual people. You know that you can't have a night like tonight and not so sick. Like, even if there was pumpkin here, it comes out. You know what I'm saying. Now, I know that many of us walked in obedience and emptied whatever was in the wallets. But I want you to sow a seed in the word tonight. A significant seed. It's not offertory. It's a seed in the word. We just saw that wise woman, her seed was to create a room. And what came out of that room has just made our faith come alive tonight. So I want to encourage you to do that. We'll still have the baskets open in case you managed to get your seed. If you don't, that's the number on the screen. Go get the money from the ATM. Find a mobile money agent. Tonight they are open all over the place. I want to encourage you, as much as is in your power, sow it in the night tonight. Like today, in the day that the thing has happened. Do you understand? Yeah, don't delay, because you can forget. Tomorrow will have its own seed, because God is going to do more tomorrow. But tonight, go withdraw what you need to withdraw, whether from send it through mobile money, get it from the ATM, do what you need to do, write a check if you have a check in your, but leave your seed today, tonight. Deal with that. If baskets haven't been emptied, guest experience, deal with it now so that people have a place to put their seed before they leave. Thank you for coming. Do not go and lose what you've received. How? By going and talking negatively or speaking. You understand? Let's guard what we have received tonight. Go rejoicing, go in faith, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Tomorrow we are here, 6 p.m. Come. For time, 5 p.m. Come, bring people. Then Saturday, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. Come tomorrow in large numbers and let's receive what God has for us. Good night.
Thank you for listening to this teaching. We hope that you've been blessed by the Worship Harvest Sermon Series. For more teachings and other resources, visit www.worshipharvest.org or call 0393-281-555. That is 0393-281-555. We're taking